You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This year feels like no other year in recent memory, from the COVID-19 pandemic, the economic crisis, a tense election cycle, and ongoing protests against racial injustice. 2020 feels like an unusually unsettled year. And while 2020 may have people feeling like the country is at a low point, our next guest says we could potentially be at a turning point with change, maybe for the better, if there's enough momentum to act from political leaders to everyday people. George Packer is a staff writer for The Atlantic. His latest piece is titled America's Plastic Hour is Upon Us. George, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
Will you borrow this idea of a plastic hour for your piece? Tell us what that means.
It comes from the Jewish philosopher Gershom Scholem, and he used the phrase to mean a moment when, after a long period of stasis, suddenly things become possible. You can actually change society, you can change politics, you can move things forward that have been stuck, but it all depends on the timing and on actually realizing the moments at hand and moving. And I think that's a good description of the moment that we're in right now, a moment when things suddenly are possible that we're not seeing. Things are even perhaps inevitable, if not likely, that seemed impossible just a year ago or so.
You say it's possible that this could lead to good changes, but not necessarily inevitable. What kind of things, and we'll get into what kind of changes you're looking for, but what kind of things would it take to take this plastic hour and make it a change for the good?
Well, to be blunt about it, the first thing that has to happen is that the election needs to sweep out Donald Trump and the Republican majority in the Senate. Without those two things, I think we will have more of what we've seen the last few years, division, bitterness, obstruction and stagnation in Congress, and problems that go untreated and unsolved year after year, whether it's economic inequality or racial inequality or climate change, decaying infrastructure, all the things that we all know about, but that seem never to get dealt with because of the profound divisions in the country. Those divisions will continue regardless of who wins the election. But I think a Democratic majority in the Senate and a Biden presidency would realign the stars in favor of legislation that could actually get us out of the rut we're in and start to see change in a constructive direction.
Talk about some of the changes you would hope to see in that scenario.
I think to be general about it, government needs to take an active role in helping Americans solve the fundamental problems of their lives. That means in healthcare, where instead of chipping away at a public-private system that was put in place by Obamacare until fewer and fewer people are covered by health insurance in the middle of a pandemic. Instead, what Biden wants to do is create a public option so that Medicare could be available to those who don't have insurance and who want it. And that would just give people the security that they can get sick, they can get the coronavirus or some other terrible disease and not be destroyed, not be ruined by it. I think Biden is proposing a lot of spending on job creation, especially manufacturing. He has a pretty sweeping program that he's proposed to spend on supporting American-made manufacturing to bring companies back that have gone overseas with a bunch of tax incentives and disincentives. To spend money on raising the pay and status of the caregiving jobs like elderly care, child care, teachers, which we've realized during the pandemic are essential workers. So I could go on and on. There's a lot more in his program, but those are policy solutions that Biden has proposed that I think address some of the key crises that have been revealed by this pandemic. Both a social safety net that's full of holes that people are falling through, a decaying manufacturing sector that Trump promised to revive and did not, and support for workers who are caught between, you know, unreliable schedules and no paid sick leave and no family or medical leave and low wages that are stuck well below, you know, the rate of inflation and inability to form unions. All of those things are worker focused, and Biden has really made workers kind of the heart of his economic program.
Now, Republican listening,
that answers things that I think the coronavirus has exposed as flaws.
A Republican listening might say, wait, hold on. You just want to have a divided society with Democrats on top. Republicans have their strategies. We might disagree on the best roads to improve the country. What would you say to them to say, hey, wait, you're not just, you know, making a Democratic partisan argument that's leaving Republicans out of the solution?
I'd say if the Republican Party is going to continue to be a party that really is based in minority rule and uses undemocratic tactics like voter suppression in order to stay in power and isn't interested in government as a positive force in people's lives, then you're absolutely right. I can't imagine progress in these areas without a strong government. And without a strong citizenry that can vote and that can make their voices heard. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. This is not a nonpartisan, let's all come together and set our differences aside vision. I don't think that's possible right now. We're too divided. But I do think that power needs to shift from a party that has placed its bets on a shrinking minority of voters and done so, and you in Wisconsin know all about this, done so through undemocratic means, like taking power away from the governor immediately after he's elected, having a legislature that doesn't reflect the makeup of the state population, and by gerrymandering and all sorts of other tactics that have entrenched minority rule. I think that is something that has kept us in this rut, and it needs to be changed.
Talking to George Packer, staff writer for The Atlantic. His latest piece is titled America's Plastic Hour is Upon Us. George, you make the case in your piece that while on the surface we've got a lot of partisan divides, you say that a lot of polls suggest that there's a lot that we agree with kind of beneath the surface. Where do you see that?
I think on cultural issues, there are deep divisions. So, for example, abortion. It's an insuperable divide. The different positions are entrenched. And so, for example, if the last weeks of this election become a debate over abortion rights and the Supreme Court, I certainly don't think that benefits Biden. I don't know if it benefits Trump, but it simply intensifies those cultural divisions on issues like that. But on economic issues, whether it's taxing the very wealthy, whether it's raising the minimum wage, whether it's giving workers more protections on the job, there's a pretty strong majority for most of those positions. And I think it's when politicians shift to the culture wars that they distract the public from policies that are actually quite popular, having to do with essentially increasing economic equality by giving workers more power and more rights. And that's where I think Biden has focused, and I think he's right to focus on that rather than on hot button cultural issues that just lead to more division.
George, I've heard from a couple of authors and others lately making the case that on those economic issues, a lot of Americans feel abandoned by both parties, a sense that Democrats turned from the interests of the working people to the financial sector in particular. Do you see room for both parties to do more to meet concrete needs of working people in those ways?
I think that those views you're hearing are absolutely right. The Democrats don't have a whole lot to say for themselves where this is concerned either. And I think that's directly related to the incredibly corrosive role of money in Congress and in politics generally. Ordinary people just don't have a voice in Washington because they don't have the money to have a voice. And that has to do with both laws and with Supreme Court rulings that have read the Constitution to give corporations, to say the corporations are the equivalent of persons, and to give them all the rights that people have in terms of campaign contribution. So I think what you're getting to is the other part of my essay, not just the economic questions, but the questions of citizenship. People feel that respond to them, that it's far away, it serves its own interests, it doesn't hear them, that they're not represented in legislatures or in public arguments, that the media don't hear them, that social media are just full of loud, poisonous voices. And I think there are a lot of changes that could come along with the policy changes that would give citizens more of a say in their government. And that could go either way. That might lead to more conservative outcomes or more liberal outcomes. But I think it's essential that we revitalize our democracy, because without that, no agenda, not even what I think is a strong economic agenda like Biden's, is going to really counteract the cynicism and the disenchantment that's so common now in our politics.
In our last couple minutes, I think there's a lot of fear out there, George, that the wheels are about to come off of the American system of representative government and how we elect people. Accusations from the president himself about the unreliability of the American election. You paint a positive picture of the way things could go. Do you share some of those fears, though, along the way?
I think the next 2 months, 3 months are going to be unlike anything we've lived in our lifetime. Just as this year has been more tumultuous and tragic than any year that I can remember. But I think in the end, if people believe in our system and believe in the integrity of our elections, that there will be fraud in very small, almost microscopic quantities on the margins, but that the elections are basically sound and that our local election officials take their duties seriously, then I don't think there's much that any politician can do to destroy the system. It's really up to the people's belief in our democracy. And the danger is that politicians can undermine that belief with what they say and what they do. And we're seeing that on a daily basis. Just yesterday, the president said he might not be able to promise that he'll respect a nonviolent transition. I've never heard anything like that from a president. That sounds like something from a banana republic. So as long as people believe in our democracy and act on that belief by voting and by being good citizens and watchful citizens, I don't think that a politician by him or herself can destroy it. I think it takes the people to destroy it.
George, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Hope to do it again.
George Packer is a staff writer for The Atlantic. He talked to us today about his latest piece titled America's Plastic Hour is Upon Us, which looks at how 2020 could bring about long-term societal change.